And our celebration day also. And then the day after tomorrow, we will have our last session. So today is reserved for a very important subject matter, a very grave subject matter, that is the proper dealings amongst the devotees who, as we have heard, are the sources of faith. Faith is born in the association, in the proper association amongst Vaishnavas. And we will learn how we can really make this assembly or this community, in fact, this international community, we could say, a birthplace for bhakti. We will learn how to do this and what to avoid in the process. So this is a very important subject matter and a grave subject matter, and I'm hoping that you all are ready for it. I see you are ready, you are attentive, and also there will be a little change, but this will be announced later of the evening program. Let me see. You understand, huh? Yes. Good. Fine. Moment. We can sing Jai Radha Madhava. Just very briefly. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Biha. Oh, This morning, a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can find it next to Madan Mohan, who smiles at us with a blissful smile. Actually, have you seen Madan Mohan, the deity Madan Mohan, always has his eyes a little bit in the distant. He looks at a place in the distance. I think he looks at Srimati Radharani. Madan Mohan is known for always looking a little bit above the crowd. Yadi Vaishnava Parada Ute Hati Mata. Upadeva Chinditara Shuki Jayapata.
Upadeva Chinditara Shuki Jayapata.
Ayadi Vaishnava Parada Utehati Mata.
Ayadi Vaishnava Parada Utehati Mata.
Upadeva Chinditara Shuki Jayapata.
Upadeva Chinditara Shuki Jayapata.
Yes, someone else, please.
Yadi Vaishnava Parada Ute Hati Mata.
Upadeva Chinditara Sukhi Jayapata. I will go directly to the translation. This describes the first and foremost of all things we absolutely must avoid if we cultivate the chanting of the holy name. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnav while cultivating the kripa of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the kripa and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the kripa are dried up. There's a purport to this verse. One's devotional attitude, writes Prabhupada, increases in the association of a Vaishnava. Tandira charana sevi bhakta sanivas janame janame hoy e abilas. One's devotional attitude becomes more in the association of a Vaishnava. there's a verse in the Bhagavatam where this is described, the mati, the inclination or devotional attitude. This is really born in the association of devotees. By his personal example, Narottam Das Thakur stresses that a devotee must always remember to please his predecessor, Acharya. The Goswamis are represented by one's spiritual master. One cannot be an Acharya or spiritual master without following strictly in the disciplic succession of the Acharyas. One who is actually serious about advancing in devotional service should desire only to satisfy the previous Acharyas. Achai Gosani Jara Muitara Das. One should always think of oneself as a servant of the Acharyas. And thinking like this, one should live in the society of Vaishnavas. However, if one thinks that he has become very mature and can live separate from the association of Vaishnavas, and thus gives up all the regulative principles due to offending a Vaishnava, one's position becomes very dangerous. Offenses against the holy name are explained in Adi Lila chapter 8 verse 24. Giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's whims is compared to a mad elephant which by force uproots the Bhakti Lata and breaks it to pieces. In this way the Bhakti Lata shrivels up. Such an offense is especially created when one disobeys the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called Guru Avagya. The devotee must therefore be very careful not to commit offenses against the spiritual master by disobeying his instructions. As soon as one is deviated from the instructions of the spiritual master, the uprooting of the Bhakti Lata begins, and gradually all the leaves dry up.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Ashtyare Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Govardhana Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Beginning of our retreat, we were hearing about the amazing potency of the holy name, which is compared to be like a sun. The holy name rises in the horizon of the heart, means in the inner space, and it works from there to bestow ultimately Krishna prema to those who chant it. But just like the sun, we learned, can be blocked by clouds and fog, in the same way, the holy name's effect can be blocked, and therefore it can sometimes not be with us when we create aparadhas out of ignorance, and we have ignorance in us. Ignorance about who we are as souls and who Krishna is. We have discussed this at length, and I remember that one day where we especially focused our attention on it, the sky was overcast and everyone could see, yes, there is the sun, but I can't really see it because of the clouds which are blocking the sun rays. I felt that was almost poetic that Krishna arranged it like this, because many times we also feel when we chant, yes, there is a holy name, but I can't experience it. I feel so dry and so untouched by the rays of the holy name. Huh? So we have discussed this. The 8th chapter of the Adi Lila says, and this is our first point, you can have millions of births of useless chanting. In other words, you chant and chant and chant and chant, but if you continue with the offenses against the holy name, then at that particular moment the effect of the holy name will not be felt. Now, this is a little bit the text which we have today. Whenever you see that you don't develop love of Godhead, you must conclude it is due to offenses. When you create an offense, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an analogy, you are actually doing something which is not giving pleasure, it's aparadha, it's displeasing. To give pleasure and to displease are two opposite things. So when you displease the holy name while you take it, the holy name will not actually give you his mercy. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very nice reason for this. We can very easily understand. We are all servants of Krishna. And if a servant displeases his master, at that time the master no longer gives him the mercy. He will not invite him to accompany him on travels. He will not give him special clothing and dress. He will actually keep him at a distance. He will not totally give the servant up, because the servant would be lost. He maintains him. He gets still a little Hafergrütze, or how do you say, these potatoes and a little breakfast and so on. But it's really just the minimum to maintain him. In the same way, when we do commit aparad, general aparadas, then Krishna keeps us at the distance. He doesn't reveal his beauty and his wonderful qualities to us. He still maintains us, otherwise we would be lost. But his special mercy, his special favors, which he gives so abundantly to a dear servant who pleases him, are no longer given with us. And it sometimes can happen that at that time we all of a sudden feel we cannot enter the palace of bhakti any longer. It's almost as if, like, the master keeps the door closed. This is only for my dear people here. You can wait outside the palace of bhakti, and we will throw you sometimes a little bread and a little chickpeas so on, so that you don't starve to death. But you are at the moment an outsider. You cannot come inside the palace of bhakti, and we know this. I heard yesterday one Mataji devotee explained her own realization. She said it's very easy for her to cook for Krishna, but one day when she had done something which was not really pleasing to Krishna, then she stood before the potatoes and the carrots and the grains and didn't know how to make a preparation from it. She couldn't even take the knife to cut the potatoes. Now this is a severe case of someone being disempowered, but I think we all have had this experience that we want to do the same thing, but we feel the power, the potency is no longer with us. Huh? Do you, have you had this experience? You go to Vrindavan like you have gone many times and you want to do your Govardhan Parikrama and it's all dry and you hurt your feet and you are in Maya all the time. It's the mercy is withheld. Or those of us who know the art of book distribution, you know, when you go out on the streets and you want to give someone the book and you only meet people who just hurl abuses upon you and who reject you and who beat you with a portemonnaie, the wallet on the head without giving you anything, and you know, it's or beat you with a shoe. And you notice the empowerment is gone. It is not with me at the moment. And you can do whatever you want. You can't make it happen any longer. You are asked to lead a kirtan and you can't find the simplest melody in the right pitch. And there are many examples which happen when the empowerment is taken from the merciful master because he is displeased with the devotee. So now it is said, of all the aparads which we could do, the most severe one is to commit offenses against the devotees. And I would like to talk a little bit about this, why the offense against devotees is the most severe one. Lord Krishna, for this we must understand a little bit the mind of God. What is he thinking? In the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna describes the devotees are very dear to him, and he expresses it in a very heartfelt language. He says, I'm always in the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I also do not know anyone else but them. Because Krishna feels he is captured by the love of his devotees, he says, they are in my heart and I am in their heart. He feels a very special relationship, which is almost like an intimate family relationship. That's a good word. In other places he says, my devotees are mine, they belong to me, and I am also theirs. It's a very intimate bondage, a very intimate bondage. I hope you have experienced this in your life here on this earth, and to be close to some people in a very intimate way. So therefore Krishna even becomes, you know what this means, when you are close to someone, you become partial to them. That means you like them more than others. Krishna says, whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend. He's in me and I'm also a friend to him. Sometimes Krishna has been criticized by outsiders who are not devotees for this partiality that he says that he's a special friend. He says, but the devotees have countered that this is not a disqualification of Krishna, but in fact it is the supreme qualification, because Krishna, who equally maintains all living entities and all species of life, feels someone who loves me, I will not just give them the official treatment, you know, to maintain them officially as the father of all beings. I'm ready to also move out of this official or neutral position, and I become Bhagata Vatsala, the friend and the special maintainer of my devotees. This quality of Krishna, Bhakta Vatsala, is very, we have to understand it. In this word, Vatsala, the devotee is called a Vatsa. Vatsa means a calf. Have you ever seen how much a cow loves the calf? It's amazing. They go to the calf, very close, and the calf comes under me, and she comes under the body, and you know, have you ever watched when a calf sucks the milk of the mother cow? The cow goes, she's so happy to nourish the calf. Calf goes, and you know, very enthusiastic, and the mother is just, my calf, you know, it's very so. Krishna feels like this towards his devotees. He's very happy to maintain them. It's Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives another example, like a father who likes to maintain his little child. The father holds the child in the arm and he never says, "You are so expensive. I have to buy these special Adleta baby costs for you, and you have to go to the doctor. What an expensive guy you are." You know? No, he feels like, "Oh, my child," you know. There's never an idea that the father has to work for one child and has to earn, how was this? I think it's 125,000 euros a year they spend. I'm not sure, because I'm not a father of like that, but it's very expensive to have a child. And then ask the father how much the baby dress costs for the child. It's a fortune. There is a Paris baby fashion, you know, and they earn a lot on this. But the father, of course he gives. He doesn't even notice, because he is specially inclined to the son. He will not give so easily to a stranger on the street, you know. But to the child, no problem. It just flows from him, the affection and so on. Normal. So the fact that Krishna has this soft heart makes him the Lord of love. It's not a disqualification, but in fact it is the supreme qualification of God. He maintains the other living entities and so on. So naturally, because of the closeness of the relationship, Krishna becomes disturbed, personally disturbed, when his devotee is attacked. He becomes personally involved in it. I believe I have said this, but I want to repeat it in relationship to Haridas Thakur. You know, when these demoniac servants of the Qazi were whipping Haridas Thakur, the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets became so disturbed that he was willing to rush down with his chakra, you know, the ultimate weapon, and annihilate all these demons. But Krishna, but Haridas Thakur kept on praying, "My Lord, don't do any harm to these people. I beg you, these people who are trying to torture me, they don't know what they do. Please don't punish them." And because the Lord could not punish or stop the torture, he himself took everything upon himself. Later, Haridas Thakur met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I believe I've said this, Mahaprabhu turned around and showed him his back, and there on his back, Haridas Thakur saw the lashes of each single whip which these servants of the Qazi had inflicted upon Haridas. In other words, because of the closeness of the relationship, Krishna took the pain upon himself. No? The Lord took the pain upon himself. We have many examples of this also in human history, where, for instance, the husband of a wife offered his life to those who kidnapped his wife in return. "You take my life, don't take the life of those, the life of the person who is very dear to me." No? We find this in human history often, that people who love others stand in for these others to take any pain which was meant for the other person on themselves. So Krishna, because of the closeness of the relationship, becomes quite disturbed and is ready to do everything when someone offends his devotee. There's an interesting verse which describes the mind of a devotee and contrasts that with the mind of God. The devotee will always excuse when you do an offense against him, because his nature is like this. But Krishna does not excuse, even though his devotee excuses. I was very surprised when I found this verse. This comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 3rd chapter. It's text 213. It says like this: "A characteristic of a pure devotee is that he excuses any offense by an ignorant rascal. The characteristic of Krishna, however, is that he cannot tolerate the blasphemy of his devotees." It's because of the closeness of the relationship. The devotee says, "No problem," but Krishna cannot feel like that. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expressed this same thing in his own words. And when I read this the first time in my life, my dear devotees, I felt the same emotion which Haridas Thakur felt when Gauranga Mahaprabhu asked him to explain Vaishnav Aparad. Haridas Thakur said, "I'm frightened to talk about this subject. It just frightens me entirely." He must have remembered that Lord Chaitanya once made a heavy statement: "Can I request you to fasten your seat belts so that you don't faint when you hear this statement?" Chaitanya says, "Everyone, please listen." "Whoever once criticizes my devotee," he gave the name Murari, "will not be delivered by even millions of baths in the Ganga. I will destroy him through his baths in the Ganga and by his chanting of the holy name." Frightening! You may think, "Oh, I have done an offense against the devotee. Let me quickly bath in the Ganga. It's all right. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it's not all right. I will be in the Ganga for you. I will wait for you. Or you may say, I have offended anybody. Okay, let me... It happens. Let me chant now Mahare Krishna Maha Mantra, and it's all right, you know. More sins than one can commit will be removed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But again, Lord Chaitanya says, it's not all right. You can't take shelter. From this statement, you can see how absolutely upset the Lord is, that he can say such things. And don't worry, we will have a remedy what to do, you know, but that comes at the end. We first of all need to understand that the Lord really doesn't like this if his devotee is offended. He's really upset. What is the Croatian word for to be upset? Yeah, uzmirian, I think. Yeah, you know the word, yes. It upset means you are out of your mind. You're really, I'm so upset. You know, you can't think of anything else than the subject matter which upsets you. Upsets is really, to set is means to be like this, and upset means you're really out of, you know, it really upsets you. So this is the reason why Vaishnava aparad is the most serious thing, because of the intimacy of the relationship between the thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a person who offense of a Vaishnava is no better than an atheist because of his blasphemy. He the only reward he has is Krishna's anger on him. Now, in the same breath, after this is explained, Haridas Thakur talks about the Vaishnavas. He says, Vaishnavas, don't misuse your position. Don't misuse the fact that Krishna holds you very dear. He says, if a devotee says, I'm a sadhu, I'm a devotee, I'm that person, he says, he is the personification of arrogance. Vrindavan Das Thakur makes it very clear in his works that the last title which Vaishnavas carry, you know what is the last title? Dasa. It's a most glorious position to be a servant of Krishna. In the world, to be a dasa, a servant, a slave, it's not so good, you know. Butler James, you know. But in the spiritual dimension, to be a servant of God, oh, it's very good. So if a devotee should say, claim this title very confidently. Oh, I'm a servant of God. I'm a sadhu. Yes, I'm dobro Vaishnava. He, Kali has entered his mind here, is the personification of arrogance. Chanakya Pandit says, I like this verse very much. Even Indra loses. When someone praises himself, he just loses everything. Even Indra loses his glories when he wears a garland which he himself has made. Imagine someone is in his room and making a garland and then goes before the mirror and then goes out. You know, it really looks foolish, isn't it? Or Indra loses his glories as the king of the universe if he honors himself with verses he himself has written about himself. if I would write a poetry, Sachinandan Swami, you are as good as a rising sun, you know. everyone would say, this fool is really too much. No? This is so because even a person without any virtue becomes honorable if he praises others. You know, you may not have any good qualifications, but if you praise others, Gaur Govinda makes such good photos. Wow! Lilavati from Sarajevo makes such good mahamantras and stereopore. Wow! Even a person without qualities becomes virtuous if he sincerely praises others. Have you noticed that? When you sincerely praise others, you feel somehow the energy changes and you feel this is auspicious to praise others. If it's sincerely done. And don't we all feel that immediately? But a person who has good qualifications becomes immediately low class if he praises himself. Don't you know this when you say like this, Prabhu, yes, now you should know that I am very qualified. You feel immediately, the energy goes down when you have said this. No. So even Indra loses his glories when he wears a garland he himself has strung, or put sandalwood paste upon himself, which he himself has prepared, or honors himself with verses he himself has written. This is so, because even a person without any virtue becomes honorable if he praises others. Whereas a person who has many virtues becomes dishonorable if he praises himself. But Haridas Thakur says, one who says, I am lowly and have no shelter other than Krishna, and on whose lips Krishna's name is always present, that's the true saintly person. Not the person who says, I am a sadhu, I am a great Vaishnava, I am, you know, sandalwood on me, garland on me, verses for me, you know, that is not good. So although it's very important, although this is very important to notice, I hope you get the idea right. Although it is Krishna is so displeased and upset if we criticize a devotee, if a devotee takes this reaction of Krishna, or this mood of Krishna, or this love of Krishna, and says, ah, look, I'm the beloved of God, you know, God loves me, God is behind me, then he immediately loses his spiritual status. He should therefore be ready to give respects to others, you remember this, without yearning to get respect for himself. Devotee will think, oh Krishna, I don't deserve your kindness upon me. But I see you have these qualities like Bhakta Vatsala, you know, and Dina Bandhu. I'm having so much hope that you will also deliver me like this. Now, it is very important for us to understand how can we counteract Vaishnava aparadas. Because it does happen in the course of our devotional life that we make Vaishnava aparadas, isn't it? It does happen. We have heard many lectures, don't do it, but somehow Kunti Devi describes why this is. The social relationships are like an ocean where sometimes waves appear and crush other waves, or there are currents, you know. And because we are dealing together in projects where we want to have, where we want the projects to offer, be offered to Krishna, and sometimes we, some Vaishnavas come and they do something and it is not, we feel it's not favorable for the project, and we feel we must protect the project, and in the course of this we may say and act things in a way which we regret later that we said it and did it and so on. It does happen. So how do we deal with this so that it doesn't harm the growth of our spiritual life? I wanted to say it is so dangerous. We have heard this. Oh, this has now disappeared from the... What do we do? Any buttons? Mm-hmm. We heard other offenses may harm our devotion. But it is said that Vaishnava aparat is so heavy that it totally uproots the plant of devotion. Devotion cannot grow any longer when you do Vaishnava aparat. I want to tell you so that you become very serious to do the remedy when something has been done wrong. Other Vaishnava, other aparats of the 10 aparats will destroy the leaves on the plant of devotion. But Vaishnava aparat uproots the plant altogether. And this is this verse which I want to read to you the moment we have found it. Here it says, if the devotees commit an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, I will wait until this is here, and because we will all look at Sharangavin and not listen when he does something. So again we will hear, if the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service. Remember, the Bhakti Lata is something which we want to cultivate. It's a plant which grows out of this world and to the lotus feet of Krishna. So while you do this and you chant your rounds and you do the 64 activities of bhakti, if you commit an offense, the offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creepers are dried up. In other words, when you make an offense against the devotee, you can continue with your bhakti, but more and more you feel you're getting dry and the life goes out, just like the leaves of a plant which is uprooted. In the beginning it's still green, you don't see it, but then gradually it becomes yellow, and then it becomes brown, and then it's dead. Yes? The example is, therefore, it has been said, this is the mad elephant offense. You know, when you live in Hrishikesh, if you live in Haridwar and you go up to Hrishikesh, there's a stretch of jungle where there are still elephants. And in the morning and in the evening time, there is elephant warning. Because the elephants are crossing now the road, and if you are on the road at that time, it's not good. Especially when the elephants have little children with them, you know, the little. Then the mother elephant is just so dangerous, It just comes and it tramples its throat, the cars here and there. If these elephants should ever come in a garden, oh, you have not seen, have you seen a mad elephant in your life? Better you never see him. It's just so frightening. He comes and everything on its way is destroyed. We once had Lakshmi with us. Lakshmi was an elephant on Padayatra. Lakshmi was not a brahmacharini, but she traveled with us, and there was no romantic other elephant, you know. So Lakshmi became so frustrated, you can't believe it. Lakshmi one day went down to the ghat and destroyed all the boats. She came down and jumped on the boat, trampled the boat. Then someone came, the boatman came, and Lakshmi said, "Oh!" and took him with a trunk and threw him to the moon. Lakshmi, oh! When Lakshmi gets mad, forget it. You run 1 kilometer, you know, so that she doesn't get you. That was Lakshmi, frustrated brahmacharini, you know. Hare Krishna. Better don't come close. You know. Yes, she eventually we married her, you know, she needed someone. So I have said this a little humorously because some of you started to get dull and not hear anything, but now be with me. It was just a trick to make you attentive, and it showed me I knew my audience. So this a mad elephant, the idea is, destroys everything. He uproots everything. Other offenses, yeah. But this Vaishnava aparad, no, absolutely no. No, 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 no. You just can't do it, because what will be your bhakti if it is uprooted? It can only dry. If a leaf breaks here and there, a new one will grow. But if the plant is uprooted, oh, goodbye sunshine, as they say. So I want to bring this to a happy end now. How to counteract Vaishnava apparatus? What do you actually do when it happens? Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked the same question by a brahmana who saw him in Kulinagram. This brahmana had committed Vaishnava aparads in the past by saying there are simply no real Vaishnavas here in Kulinagram. It's just that everyone here is a nonsense, you know. He had said this, and he had felt how he became drier and drier and drier because his bhakti was uprooted. He had felt it, and in great misery he approached the Lord and said, "What should I do now?" And the Lord says, "What I say now is the truth. If a person who has committed blasphemy stops blaspheming others and instead," you know, and all something else he needs to do, "instead praises Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, then all of that person's sins and offenses will be destroyed. This praising instead of blaspheming is the right way to destroy the offense. Millions of other rituals of atonements will not destroy this offense." And then the kind Lord gave a simple analogy. He said, if one has drunk poison, that's like blaspheming devotees, the poison will slowly but surely eat away one's health. I don't know if you know, in medieval time, people... there were sometimes doctors who wanted to get the wealth of rich patients, and they the way they did this was, there were a few criminal instances. In the name of giving them medicine, they gave them increasing doses of poison. And then the patient was like, "Oh, doctor, please come." The doctor said, "Yes, I will come. I give you this medicine. It will make you better." And he put some medicine, some honey in the poison, and he got the honey, and the patient, "Oh, it works. The medicine is very good." But then, "Oh, the poison again worked." And this is how they would get a lot of money. So if one has drunk poison, the poison will slowly but surely eat away one's health. The remedy is simple. With the same mouth with which one has drunk the poison, one should now drink powerful amrita or nectar, which will restore the failing health. No? So that amrita is what we have said earlier. You sincerely praise devotees and you serve them. That will help you to get your strength back again, more and more. How do you like this analogy? Isn't it a very simple and clear analogy? The same mouth which has eaten poison, and as a result now the health fails, the same mouth should do nectar, good nectar, praising devotees. The body should also serve devotees, huh? And then you will wake up, and you this dryness will stop, this and you will become extremely enthusiastic and empowered in your devotional service. Haridas Thakur says, what should one do when one has abused a Vaishnava? Then he says, he should touch the devotee's feet in a spirit of repentance. Weeping means crying, he should say, "Prabhu, forgive me for my offense. And even though I'm a wicked blasphemer, give me your Vaishnava blessings." Haridas says, the devotee is by nature compassionate. He will be moved by your contrition. Contrition, innere Gefühl der Zerknirschung. We had this word already. And he will forgive you and mercifully embrace you. So when you have done something, don't continue like this. Turn around 180 degrees. And make good of your bad words and your bad activities. And do this, be real, you know. Weeping. I mean, I recognize we Westerners have forgotten how to weep. You know, so if it doesn't come naturally, don't just smear something on the eyes, and you know, or try to do it falsely or pretensefully. But you know, you should feel that this was not good. It should be clear to you, and then you ask for forgiveness and also offer some service, but not in the way of the deal. I did this, now I will make good by doing this. It should come from the heart. It should be not, "Let me serve this bad guy now so that I don't suffer." You know, that won't work. If you that should be something in the heart, some realization of your mistake. I would like to give you at the end an example from the Shastras, because we will practice in the workshop something which he did to get free from all Vaishnava offense. In the 17th chapter of the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita contains a very instructive story of a Brahmana called Gopal Chapal. There is some additional information which I will give you, which is not in CC but in the other Vaishnava scripture. So Gopal Chapal was a Brahmana, and he was like many other Brahmanas. and pandits upset about the new movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have ankle bells, Nityananda would have ankle bells, no man had ankle bells, you know, it was different. They would sing, and the whole night they would sing, you know, and it was loud, and at that time music was considered to be an entertainment, you know, and they would dance, and Gopachapa said, where is Nadia going to? This new sect is spreading rapidly. He said, measuring the Vaishnavas with his tiny ant-like brain, he thought they must be up to this tantra. They must engage, I think they will engage in the five practices of this black tantra. It means they will drink wine, they will eat meat, and when they are totally out of their mind, they will have the girls, the tantric girls coming, and then they will do things. I don't even want to think about it. So Gopal Chapal was really getting into the offense against Vaishnava. And do you know what he did? In order to blackmail, you know, blackmail means to insinuate something bad, you know. He put all the articles which you do for this practice, which I have not described it to you. You would faint if you would hear what they do with the five things, but I also don't know. I don't want to know because it is so contaminating to hear. You know, he put the articles which are used for tantric rituals like this, this sexual magic, you could say, before the house of Srivas Thakur, so that the brahmanas who passed in the morning on the way to the Ganga would see these articles and they would think, ha 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 ha, now we know what's going on in the night and why they shout so much, you know. So that was Gopal Chapal. So, as a result of offending the best of devotees, Srivas Pandit, Gopal Chapal suffered the effect of Vaishnava effect. Here I'm reading from the text now. He was covered with germs and insects were biting him all over his body. Gopal Chapal felt unbearable pain. His entire body burned in distress. Since leprosy is an infectious disease, Gopal had to leave the village and sit down on the banks of the Ganga underneath a tree. One day, you know, he was now a lepra person. You must know, because lepra is infectious, those who have lepra are asked by the healthy people to move at the edge of the village so that no one gets infected. Excommunicated. Yeah, excommunicated. There is even a word, they go into a lepra colony, a special place set aside. We know this from medieval times, you know, they're already depressed, they cannot participate in the ordinary society any longer, they are only with other infected people who are very depressed themselves, and they really have no hope in their life than to wait for their death. And some of them wish that death comes sooner than later. It's just so miserable in these colonies. So Gopal Chapal did not join a colony. He was a singular case. He was the only one. So, but he left the village and was under a tree. And one day, Gauranga Mahaprabhu passed the same way. Gopal Chapal just threw himself down. He was a Brahmana. He could understand this must be a reaction
to Vaishnava apparat. That's why I was healthy before. There was no indication of lepra in me. So he threw himself down before Gaurang Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, I'm so sorry, I did it out of ignorance. I just didn't know what you were doing. I just heard the loud noise and I thought it was like the other loud noise, which is on the other side of the town where these tantric people do their tantric nonsense, you know. It was ignorance. I didn't mean it. Please, you accept that the insects are biting me alive. It's so painful. Save me, Lord. He said like this. I think we can understand. Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, no. You have offended Srivas. For this you will rot in hell. Not just here you will rot. You will rot in hell. Oh my God. You have committed an offense at the lotus feet of Srivas Thakur. Then he left. Mahaprabhu was so upset inside. Krishna. Mahaprabhu came another time. You know, he's not always upset. Gopachapal again said, please, I know I do not deserve your mercy. I know. But it is known that you have come to save the most fallen, and I am the most fallen. Mahaprabhu said, you have committed an offense at the lotus feet of Srivas Thakur. And then his heart turned a little. First you must go there to him and beg for his mercy. And then he gives you his blessings and you do not commit such sins again. If you do not commit such sins again, you will be freed from these reactions. Thank you, said Gopal Chapat. And immediately he just walked or crawled, I do not know how bad his lepra was. He moved himself to Srivas Thakur and said, I'm very, and he was crying, and it was real. And he said, I'm very sorry for my offense. Srivas said, oh no, you didn't do anything. No, I'm the most sinful. No. Like a devotee, he did not say, Yasam Sadhu, Yasam Vaishnav, you know. He said, No. He felt bad. Srivas Thakur, you're such a qualified Brahmana. And Gopal Chapa said, I know what I did. Can you please forgive me? Srivas Thakur said, of course. And then Gopal Chapa was thinking, I must do something to make good. And he took initiation of a great devotee Purushottam Das, and he surrendered to him and became known as Devakinandan Das. But remember, do you think everything is all right now? He has asked for forgiveness, but what instruction did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give to those who have done Vaishnava aparat? Do you remember? Not to do it again. And? I'm sorry? Glorify Vaishnavas. The same mouth which has drunk poison should now drink nectar. And this Devakinandan kept this instruction in his mind. Purushottam, his guru, told him, Devakinandan, you have done a very sincere thing. Now to remedy this, I request you to travel from village to village and you know, see the Vaishnavas and you will become convinced by seeing them. They're very good people. And then you should praise them. Write a song. And he wrote this very beautiful song, Sri Vaishnav Sharana. It means surrender to the Vaishnavas. It's written by Devaki Nandan Das Thakur, and it is so realized. I have asked many Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars what to do. I'm from North Germany, and North Germans, they almost talk offensive. You know, the way they greet themselves is almost an offense. Hey, Alter! That's how you greet someone. Can you hear the vibration? Hey, Alter! Nun wieder. These are these very heavy words, you know. Not so heavy. I'm saying the polite words, you know. But it's we Germans are by nature a little aggressive. Two world wars have come out of this little nonsense country. You know. Sorry?
And those are from New York too.
And those from New York also, yes. They are, it's right. In New York, the way the people talk to each other is also very heavy. If you come to New York, and you will be shocked and tremble, but it's kindness for them. So, I have asked Vaishnava scholars, what do you do when you have such a nature? And one devotee, very nice devotee, he worships the same deity which Bhaktivinoda Thakur worships, Radha Madhava. He told me, he said, I asked him three times, and he said, I have a secret, but don't tell my name when you tell what I do in your lectures. I know you will always lecture about everything. I sing every day this song from Devaki Nandan, because by singing it, I get such a nice mood to serve the devotees, to please them. I recognize them as someone special in this song, and it just puts me in a mood where I just don't even think bad of devotees. That's what I do. And he said, my Guru Maharaj, is the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He told me that this was also told to him by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to sing this song. So, in the workshop, we will actually sing this song with translation, and we will see how it feels for us, if it elevates our consciousness into the mood. See, it's not so good if you leave this lecture with the idea, I shouldn't criticize Vaishnavas. There is some esoteric knowledge. The universe doesn't hear the nose in your requests. I shouldn't. The universe hears I should criticize Vaishnavas. It's somehow psychologically, it's like this: when you put negative information in your mind, then the mind has this information, it's programmed in some way. I don't understand it, but I also have experienced this. When one's always like, I shouldn't do this, shouldn't do this, then one somehow does it, or one thinks of it all the time. Or you should think positively, I will serve the devotees. I will also not, you know, see, is he's a big devotee, you know, and measure him, you know, and then, okay, he's big, let me serve them, and come to another, and oh, he's small, let me offend him, you know. No, I will, just to be sure, because sometimes the small ones are the biggest. Hare Krishna. Seen, you know, by physical, in other words, you can't recognize a Vaishnav always, you can't recognize him physically, that's clear, but also the way you can, better is you serve and you are supportive of others
so that you don't make a mistake. And I have a good news for you. You will feel so blissful. It's not hard. You get a very positive reward from Krishna. Sometimes devotees have told to me, I was so open-minded and I did never criticize, but when I came to the devotees, I began to criticize. I asked them, why? Oh, can you tell me why this would be there? Well, what I personally think, why this kind feelings amongst devotees are not always seen is because, this is my thing, it's as my analysis, I sometimes think we have a very, very sophisticated philosophy. We know what is a Kanishta Adhikari, a Madhyam Adhikari, an Uttama Adhikari. We have an analysis of everything. Now, to analyze means to compartmentalize. It means to dissect. It means to put things here and there and everywhere. And if we do that in a judgmental way, when we have when that seed of judgment is in us, we will easily say that he is not so good because look at this, he does not always chant Hare Krishna. We have learned a good Vaishnava is seen by that he always chants Hare Krishna, but he doesn't. And we use the knowledge to more or less judge others. So we should be supportive. Let us support each other. Let us be kind to each other. Especially as a preaching movement. You will not be attractive if you always look very right. You will be attractive if you are very kind. That will attract other people. The kindness of the heart will attract others. Not your... your judgmental attitude. It will not attract others. Everyone will be afraid of you and stop talking with you. Only those who are very weak and need some support of a stronger will come to you, but not those who think on their own. So it is really very important to have this kind attitude towards Vaishnavas. And if it's difficult, because we may be critical by nature. That's not some of us are just like this. It's a certain nature, and the nature of doubting is a sign of intelligence. That should not be given up so quickly. But it's just that kind nature. You should just see every devotee, even the one who makes mistakes, is dear to Krishna. You see? And Krishna sees him with a dear nature, as his dear friend, you know. Like a father, when the father or mother see that their children do something wrong, they don't give them up so easily. Have you seen? When the father, do you know Babyface Nelson? Anyways, it's one of the most heavy murderers, you know. I have no need to know Babyface Nelson. Anyways, it's instructive. He was the worstest serial murderer in the history. And he looked very innocent. That's why he got his name, Babyface. But he was a murderer, a killer. So, just before he was executed on the electric chair, he was given a last desire. It's like some say, I want to eat a bar of chocolate, or I want to drink a last whiskey or something. And Babyface Nelson said, okay, you will be killed in 1 hour tomorrow. What is your last desire? His mother and father, they gave him up, and he was educated by his auntie. He was like a, how do we say, an orphan. He didn't have the love of his mother and father. And that's maybe why he became so bad. And he said, okay, I want to see the one who educated me, my auntie. So they brought the auntie, and Babyface Nelson was so dangerous that they had to bind him the arms at the leg. They had to put the legs, bind the legs down. He was such a criminal. Babyface was too much, you know. So it was like this. He said, auntie, tomorrow I will be executed. You have raised me. I want to say something to you, but the others shouldn't hear it. And the auntie brought her ear close to his mouth, and then he just took his mouth and he just bit it, was biting the ear away, you know. He was very bad. Baby face was too much. And then he screamed out, auntie, you have made me like this. If you would have disciplined me more, if you would not have given me everything which my crazy mind wanted, I would not be killed tomorrow. That's why I've bitten off your ear, auntie. And then he screamed. For 2 hours he screamed. No one could stop him. He felt just so bad. This was then the auntie was interviewed. What did you think about what Babyface did to you? He said, he is a good character. Just some little tension came over him, you know. But he has taken away your ear. I love him. He's a good boy. It's just a bad association. Those who love will always forgive. That is the nature of love. You forgive someone. You just don't take it serious. It doesn't touch your heart. So this is how Krishna is. He loves his devotees. He's so kind to them. And when even a beginner, when he does something wrong, we should look at him with the eyes of the Lord. We should not get down on him and punish him for his things. If it's difficult for you to be not free from criticism, just try to understand how Krishna thinks about his devotees, and then it's much easier. Hare Krishna. This was the longest lecture. I hope it was all right. It's just because, you know, I needed to spend some time, and I wanted to save this for the end, because you're now ready more to it. You have done so much work, and these things are, you know, it's sometimes difficult for us to understand why Vaishnava aparad is like the mad elephant offense, and uproots, that is totally kills our bhakti, and then we dry out more. It's because the Vaishnavas are dear to Krishna, and shouldn't we just, you know, for this recognition, it doesn't mean that we give, you know. Everyone should be engaged according to his place, and there are many things, you know, according to his qualification, but everything can be done in a kind way, must be done in a kind way. You can remember, Krishna is looking how I do. Krishna is looking how I speak about Vaishnavas, and I don't want to inflict pain in the heart of the Lord by doing this. You can see like this, I'm doing it for Krishna. I may, due to my biochemistry, not immediately understand this other Vaishnava, and he hurt me very much, this other Vaishnavas, but for Krishna, I mean, he's trying, he's on his way. Let me maybe keep a little distance, because somehow our chemistry doesn't work so well but let me not make any problems or speak any problems. No? We may say like this. So I request you to think about this. I will not take questions and answers on this now, but at the next session, the workshop at 11 o'clock, we will sing the song of Devakinandandas. We will try to understand the song, and then we will explore the subject a little bit more with questions and answers. I will ask Banu Nandini to just give us the orientation of the day. Thank you very much for listening. Really, it was. Did you see that I was very much... because I have done this of offense more than I've done it, and I have felt that it's really very, very bad. My bhakti has suffered, and Krishna, it just and it's something. I'm not sitting here thinking I can teach you on this. I need to hear this very much myself. It's not, please don't think that I'm above this, but I've just seen in my life, this one thing you have to do, and that's why I'm absolutely, as a principle, I'm not interested in politics. It just doesn't interest me. I go away from this. I know it's not good. It's not, and it is not interesting at all. So, Hare Krishna.